The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Happy Friday, Pete.
Happy fucking Friday.
I feel like I've seen you a lot this week.
We've had two nights out this week.
Fucking up. Lucky me. I feel very privileged.
We had a fabulous time at the NTAs, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
On the red carpet together, like fucking Hollywood's golden couple.
Yes, dressed up.
Yes, Hollywood's golden couple, who actually were more like brother and sister.
I love the twist on it. I mean, it was going to happen anyway, but I got some very interesting messages on Instagram about it.
I did as well. I had quite a few men message me and say, stay the fuck away from Cece. One actually said, you're precious, don't touch her. So I had a number of them sort of messages. Do you know what, me and Cece, before we did the red carpet, I said to you, like, should we do this together? Everyone's going to start talking about it, aren't they? And we was like, fuck it, let's just do it anyway. But we didn't get any press about us being together, which is a good thing.
I put it right on Instagram, because there were some the sharp messages that I received. I was like, you know what? These are a little bit hard. They're a bit, you know, I like positivity. Like, we can all, you know, we can talk about stuff, but there's like judgment and opinions that are very strong. So I put a little note on my Instagram just sharing, you know, if you do have strong opinions or you would like to judge, I highly recommend you listen to our show from last week, because it was on judgment.
It was indeed. So for anyone that doesn't know what the fuck you're doing here, what are we doing here?
Well, if you don't know what the fuck you're doing here, welcome.
Welcome.
Also, you should know why you're here, because this is the best podcast radio show you're ever going to fucking listen to, and you're going to learn something.
You are.
My name's Cece Coleman. My beautiful co-host is Pete Wicks. And every week we talk about a lot of things.
Yeah.
It always ends up in one direction, which you'll soon learn. But this week's topic, we have teenage love.
We also have a fabulous guest. We have boxer Luke Campbell, fabulous boxer and all-round nice guy. We've got the Love the Way You Lie game, the listeners' questions and stories. But before we get onto all of that sort of weird and wonderful dating news, we've also got my sex book. Fuck me, we have a lot of shit in this show.
A lot going on.
We have a lot of shit in this show.
Boom.
But before we do that, a couple of weeks ago, we did a story on someone that was rating people in bed based on their professions. And since then, we've asked people to come in with their experiences of different professions. So we've got a couple. Do you want to take away the first one?
Yeah, these are quite funny, actually. So a call centre worker, apparently, so this is from Stephanie. So apparently they are good with their fingers on the keyboard for work, shite at using them in the bedroom, and normally lazy. They get rated a 5 out of 10.
What I love about Stephanie is that she's actually given them a full rating.
Concise.
Yeah, we're here for this efficiency.
Yeah.
Next up, she had an accountant who, interestingly, despite the fact that you might think accountants are boring as fuck, accountants came up with really dirty, imaginative, and up for anything. Solid 7 out of 10.
I like the imaginative part. That's cool. Because sometimes, you know, you've got your set positions, and when you can get creative and imaginative, I like it.
Yeah, so an accountant will fold you up like a bit of origami.
Nice. Next, we've got a civil servant. They are apparently shit, and they cried after over how much he liked Stephanie. They get a strong 2 out of 10, and the 2 is for getting it up despite the emotions.
Yes.
So what I'm sensing from this is there were tears.
Yes. I read this wrong, first of all, because I thought it said civil servant shit and cried. So I thought that they meant that she'd slept with a civil servant who had shit and cried. But thankfully, no, she just meant they were shit and they cried.
And they cried, but with a hard-on. Quite amazing. Is that not actually a skill?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's quite hard to...
cry, Pete, with a hard-on.
No, not really. When I'm not very good at multitasking. So I'm either horny or sad. I'm never horny and sad.
Okay.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I can't manage both emotions. To be honest with you, I struggle with one emotion. So I have to be one at a time. I haven't mastered the horny and sad. Let's call it
sword. If you do, let us know. Yeah. To learn on this show.
If I ever have a sawny moment, which is what we're going to call it, which is sad and horny at the same time, I will let you know. So next time I am knocking one out whilst crying, you'll be the first to know. Next up, I'm not surprised by this one. This is pretty much what I expected. Armed forces.
Yeah.
Forceful, big dick energy and dominant. 7 out of 10. That's what it does on the tin.
Okay. 7 out of 10. Good, we're getting there. Next, a car salesman. All she's put is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's not their name. That's what she thinks.
That's what she thinks. And she's rated him 10 out of 10.
So car salesman. Apparently, very, very good. Right. So, listen, if you're looking to go out and have a one-night stand or if you're looking for a long-term relationship, car salesmen are good. Useful because they can supply you with cars, hopefully at a discount rate, but also they are very very good with their gear knob. Yes, very good with their gear knob and happy to put it up your exhaust pipe. Next up, we have... this one surprised me. Well, not surprised me. You're right there. Am I car salesman jokes driving you crazy?
Good. No, come on, Pete, you were there.
I know. Sorry. Yeah, it's bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I apologise. But next up, I'm going to sort of spark the conversation back into life with electricians. She's put... Fucking Jesus Christ, sex drive of a 15-year-old boy, constantly hard and just an all-round amazing time. 15 out of 10.
Whoa, 15 out of 10. I've never rated anyone a 15 out of 10.
No, I don't know if this is an electrician thing, whether, you know, it's just something that they're all just very good at. I don't know if you are an electrician and you study at college, whether that's part of the curriculum, how to fuck. But apparently they're all very good.
Has anyone ever rated you a 15 out of 10, Pete?
Well, to my face, yeah, definitely not behind my back. When they're lying to me, yeah, just when they're telling the truth, no. I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever asked anyone for a rating.
No, I'm not sure I find that.
That sounds like the sort of thing that the civil servant would do. And how was I?
Oh god, no.
Do you know what I mean? So I've never really asked, so we'll put it out there. Anyone that has, actually, no, I'm not going to do that.
Anyone that has slept with Pete Wicks, feel free to send in your ratings. I'm sure we're gonna have an influx of messages. In fact, the whole email chain might just fucking explode, but we would like to know, because I'd just quite like to know.
Based on the comments you received on your Instagram, I have a feeling they're not going to be good.
But they were from men.
Yes, they were from men, but people, well, each to their own. Sometimes I do get really drunk and sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. I joke.
Okay.
I joke. I love tits. Next up.
Oh,
in fact, do you know what? We also had another message, and I'm going to give her a shout out anyway. I'm just going to run through it really quickly. It's Jenny from London. And she said, in the last episode, you mentioned that you were looking to hear about some weirder jobs. So these are some weirder ones. So Stephanie's given us a really good rating system for some fairly everyday jobs.
Yeah.
So I've got some interesting ones. One guy was seen as a baker, and he worked for a well-known donut company. He used to come up with new recipes and designs for them, as well as tasting a lot of them. I also got to taste this, which was a bonus of dating him. I mean, a lot of information here. I just want to know how he fucks.
Yes.
So she's gone with, he was fantastic in bedroom and always took his time to make sure I was enjoying myself. I like to think, because he used his hands a lot during work, that was why he was so good using them when it got down to business. So quite clearly, yeah,
donut man.
He was very good at putting the jam in her donut. Next. Are you all right?
No, carry on. I'm here.
Next up, a kung fu teacher.
I'm intrigued. Let's go.
He was so fit and athletic, I thought he'd have really good stamina and would be really confident in the bedroom. I couldn't have been more wrong. Let's just say he'll ever be known as 2-Minute Tom in the girls' group chat. So, kung fu teacher, not so good. Slightly surprised by that one. Are you?
Yeah, I am surprised. Yeah, I am. Well, no, what I was going to say is, like, if you're judging it on the 2 minutes, because sometimes 2 minutes, you can have the most amazing 2 minutes of your life. Sometimes
you can. Yeah, 2 minutes is an awful long time sometimes. And to be perfectly honest, With 2 minutes, I can get in at least a minute, 40 seconds of cuddling afterwards as well. So,
but this, do you know, this fits in with our topic a little bit. This, like, young love, teenage love, right? Because, like, I remember before I had sex, someone saying to me, oh, you know what? It don't bother with having sex because it's literally just 20 minutes. It's bish, bash, boss, and it's all done. And I was thinking, well, 20 minutes, you know, I'm not being funny, but I don't remember the last time I had sex for 20 minutes. Like, 20 minutes is a long fucking time. Like, if you're just doing the act, like, obviously, like, the other stuff as well. So maybe this...
Oh, so you're talking... Yes, you're talking just on penetration, are we?
Yeah.
Fine. So not based on foreplay and everything else and all the other shit.
Yeah.
If it's 2 minutes, including foreplay, then you should probably take a long, hard, good look at yourself and go and find yourself an electrician to talk to.
We'll leave it there.
Yeah,
I agree.
We'll leave it there. So thank you for that, Jenny. Appreciate it. And again, anyone else, because I really enjoy this subject, that would like to give us some ratings,
yeah,
and some experiences and some weird jobs, that would be great.
Can you educate me now, please?
It is time for the education. And this one...
You love it, don't you? You just love it.
Again, for anyone listening, this is the Dating Show on FUBAR, and every week I like to educate and entertain you all. I call it edutainment. And effectively, I like to give you some dating sex book terms, some things you may not have heard of and some things you might have heard but not heard the definitions of. So this week, it's a good one, Stacey.
Okay.
All right? It's a good one. It's okay. The dolphin.
Is it when you have sex from behind and then you hold the person's arms, so their arms are close to their body, and they look a little bit like a dolphin?
You know what? In all seriousness, no, it's not. But that is fucking brilliant. Can you just... I mean, I can't quite imagine exactly what you mean. So could you...
Like, you do know what I mean.
I don't.
Arms, like, basically, it's almost like... holding you back like that, like, oh, the dolphin. Do you know what? If that's not the fucking dolphin, it now is, in my terms. Next time I have sex, I say, babe, can we do the dolphin?
No, you won't, because the dolphin is better than that.
Oh, okay.
But if for anyone, again, this is another one, because we like to get everyone involved. If anyone would like to make up their own dating sex book for what CC's just done and performed for us, please write in, and next week I will include that as an add-on, and I will include it to my sex book, which I'm hoping to bring out around Christmas. No, the dolphin. Are you ready for this?
Yeah. Oh, God. God, let's go. Come on.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
The dolphin, a sex act in which the man starts off penetrating the woman from behind. Then, without warning, he harpoons his dick into her ass, causing her to make an eek eek sound, not unlike a dolphin's distress call. The woman will then flop around in bed like a dolphin, desperate to get back to the safety of the sea.
Oh. Oh.
Thank you.
It's
Thank you.
So good.
The crowd are going wild.
It's so fucking good. So hold on. So he puts it in
her
bum.
No, so he'd be fucking her in the vagina from behind, doggy, and then without warning, just fucking dry fucks her ass. Just goes straight in to cause her to go like that and then flop around on the bed. That was a dolphin impression. That is called the dolphin. It's when you just sort of accidentally on purpose pull out of the vagina and straight into the arsehole, without warning, without lubrication, and without any sort. I mean, I don't know if they maybe you spit on it first. I don't know, but or you just go straight in. But that causes the EE motion because you know there's no sort of working your way into it. It's a straight harpooning of the arse.
Wow. But do you know, I'm going to give myself a little bit of credit right now, because my explanation of it, my interpretation of the dolphin, was sort of similar. It was still the same position.
Yes.
It was slightly different.
It was slightly different. And
you
really
fuck this royally is what I'm trying to say. But I feel like this week, you know what I mean? I'm upgrading.
I really, really, really enjoyed your one, which is why next week we are going to include it in the sex book with a definition for it. Sorry, a name for your definition. So we're happy to hear from anyone else about that, or I will think of one myself.
Pete, that's pretty, that one you, is pretty rough, the one you've explained today.
I'm not going to ask you anything else about it. But, you know, accidents happen.
Okay, should we move on? Because teenage love. Do you remember, firstly, hang on, no, let's first question. Have you ever been in love?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
We discussed this before, haven't we?
Well, for all the listeners that may or may not have, because there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
Do you ever think when you were younger, you like teenage vibes, that you thought you were in love?
Yeah. Weekly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think when you're younger, you kind of do, don't you? You just kind of just assume that any girl that shows you any interest is you know, I love her.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I was a bit of a boy, I suppose, when I was a kid. Obviously not now.
No.
But yeah, I think generally, you know, I used to do when I was really young. So if we're going like teenage. Well, when we say teenage, we're talking like I'm thinking like 13, like young.
Let's go like 13 to 17. Let's do the teenager, 13 to 18.
Okay, so when I was 13, I used to go to like these under 18 discos and all that sort of stuff. So I used to go where, like, with the boys, and then, you know, people from different schools around the areas used to go, and then, you know, used to kiss fucking 20 women in a night. Do you know what I mean? 20 girls in a night, and like just be in love with every single one until 10 minutes later they'd be kissing your mate. So then you fall onto their mate, and you just fall in love non-stop. That's kind of my memory of being really young. And then as I got older, my first sort of girlfriend who I worked with at a hotel actually moved in with me and my mum and that when I was 15.
Wow.
And we were still at school because she was having some a little bit of trouble at home, so she moved in for us a little while. We then split up not that long after, and my mum still sees her now, went to her wedding to her husband, and sees her and her kid all the time.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I would say that was my first where I thought I was actually in love, because it was I was sort of in a relationship, very young relationship, but yeah, she lived with us and she's still very much a very good friend of my mum's.
So when you were in your teens then, were you telling girls that you loved them?
Yeah.
After a week?
I think I used to use it as a bartering tool. If you kiss me, I'll tell you I love you. That sort of thing.
Nice.
Now, do you know what? To be honest with you, I can't remember. I can't remember a lot from back then. I genuinely can't. So I don't remember what it was like. I just remember every week you'd have like a new girl you like obsessed with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you'd be like obsessed and be like, oh, I've just met everyone. And it's like you used to have like credit on your phone, didn't you? And you just run it out.
Oh, of course,
and you used to have
yeah.
to top up and you just run it out like within a day, because you'd be texting nonstop all fucking day. And just having that kind of obsession. And obviously when you get older, I don't think you really get that sort of obsession like you do, because everyone's a bit more chilled, aren't they? And not a fucking child.
No, I think the excitement, I think, is still...
Yeah, but I think the excitement, when you're younger, you just react straight on, don't you? Whereas you kind of...
Yeah.
You play the excitement a little bit more. Like, you, do you know what I mean? You wouldn't... Although you're excited, you wouldn't just bombard someone fucking left, right and centre. I'm pretty sure that's probably what I used to do.
Yeah, true. But that, because you just learn how to be a bit more of an adult, don't you? And also, it's not cool to do that. I mean...
No, it's not. Is it?
No.
But yes, what's your experience then? Because do you know anyone that is like has got like a teenage love? You know, like my mum and dad, before they got divorced, which isn't a great story, but they were married. They were together 22 years, and they met when they were teenagers. My dad, I think, was 18, and my mum was 16, so they met and they were together 20 odd years.
Mm.
You know, and I actually do know quite a few people that are still with their teenage love. But I also know a lot of people that are with their teenage love just because they've been with them so long, they might have had kids early and now they go out and cheat on them every fucking week.
Yeah. I don't know teenage, but I do know sort of 20s. So that's still really young to me, 19, 20, 21. Well, I was 18, I guess. And happily married, but I think I know one couple.
Yeah. But it's kind of like back in the day, if you speak to like, you know, older generations. They're kind of like, you know, we met at school and I've never been with anyone else, and you know, we've been married fucking 60 years, 70 years. Whereas now that just really fucking rare, I think, isn't it? It's older generations.
Yeah, and also I guess from like the journey, when I look at my journey, I can only speak for myself, but the people I was telling I loved when I was 15, people I was telling I loved when I was 18, I was not in love. Like, I think I've only been in love once, and that for me was a truthful relationship. We were together 5 years, and that was the only experience of love that I really know. I've said I love you to people because in the moment and in that relationship, you think you are.
Yeah, of course you do.
When you look at it, upon reflection, you're like, no, that wasn't love.
It feels like the right thing to the right thing to say at the time, but that's the beauty of hindsight, isn't it? Mm. Then you look back and think, well, no, it wasn't. It was just you get caught up, and I think you get confused about it. And I think that's also the thing for me. I didn't really have any. I still don't really know what fucking love is, to be honest with you. But I certainly didn't back then. And I don't think you have an understanding, so you do kind of throw it about a little bit. So,
Yeah, I think, it's a sad thing because you think, God, I've told a lot of people I have, well, not a lot, but, you know, a few people. And that's sad to think that maybe it wasn't truthful. But I always feel like there needs to be an in the middle, because it's not lust, and it's not like what I think is deep, meaningful love. But the care and the connection for me is there. It's not, yeah. It's not, you know, forced, or it wasn't, it meant something. So I don't know what you would call that, and maybe that's what I would say is sort of that teenage love as well, is that deep care for someone.
What do they call it? Puppy love?
Don't puppy love, yeah, maybe when you were a teenager, but like to say you're puppy love when you're in your like 20s.
No, I don't mean you would say that would be the term. I mean
puppy love you. I really love you.
Do you know what? I love you like a puppy.
Oh,
that reminds me.
Actually, do you know, if I said that to someone, fuck me, that's the man I'm going to marry, because I fucking love puppies.
I love puppies.
Anyone out there, if I ever say that to you, is you're the one.
Cece, I love you like a puppy, but sort of like a rescued puppy, not one that I chose.
I don't know how to say that. That's like a backwards sort of way of saying that you care for me.
Yes, I care very deeply for you. I don't know where we were going with that.
Well, so, I don't know either.
I don't know why we went on to puppies then.
Do you want me to read a stat?
Should we bring it back to something factual instead of just talking about sort of puppies and how much we like dogs?
According to Brandon Gale Marketing, today only 2% of marriages from high school... only 2% of marriages are from a high school relationship. Fuck, that's low.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I think it is really rare now. I genuinely do, because there's so much option, so much temptation out now, so much accessibility to so many more people that, and I think people don't have the same determination that older generations did to make things work. So I think they just sort of, you know, the first hurdle, oh, fuck it, move on, find another one, because they're everywhere. There's apps, there's everything. Like, whereas back in the day, you know, my nan would tell me stories about, you know, dating or courting like my granddad, and they'd go out for a date and then they'd write letters to each other, but you'd have to wait days for the letters to come back. And then, you know, they didn't have phones in the houses, but like maybe two houses would share a phone, or he'd go to a telephone box to call. But then they go on like dates, and like if one of them didn't turn up or they were late or whatever else, the other one would wait and wait and wait, and like you never knew if something was happening and whatever. Like, do you know what I mean? And that kind of, that thing, it's just now, do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you can organise a date and someone cancels and you can find a replacement in 10 minutes. It's so easy. Like, people split up with people, they go straight on Grindr or Twitter what's the other ones? Tinder, Hinge, whatever it may be. And they just find someone to fuck at night.
Yeah.
That's what people do, isn't it?
Well, yeah, like you just said, if you're waiting for a letter, like, you're not going to... that's your only option.
Yeah. So I think that's accessibility has made a big difference. But dating or going on dates when you were, like, a teenager was always quite fun, though. Do you know what I mean? I remember going on dates to, like, the cinema, or you'd go shopping centres, wouldn't you?
I think, if anything, they were... Maybe this just says about... life from where it is. But I used to get really excited, like more excited than I do now. Like the thought of going to meet someone in a park, a boy, it was like, oh my fucking God, what trainers am I going to wear? Are my trainers clean? Am I going to plait my hair? It was like, if the thought that would go through my head just to meet one person, whereas now, you know, you might meet someone on the way home from work and it's like the effort, you're still making an effort, but it's like, yeah, I can fit you in. It's completely different.
Yeah. And I think when you, you know, like going to like a shopping center with a girl, like when I was a kid and that, and do you know what's funny is like I started working when I was like 11, 12 doing paper rounds. And the majority of the reason for that was just because, you know, my mum didn't have a lot of money and I wanted money so that I could take girls out. So but how amazing that you used to be able to go out with 20 quid in your pocket and be out all afternoon, right? Do you know what I mean? All afternoon, like for like 9-hour date, like all through the day on like a Saturday at like Lakeside or something, or like a shopping centre, and just have the best time and then get home at whatever time and then spend all night messaging them like you haven't just spent 9 hours with them.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
But that's what it used to be like, wasn't it? Whereas now, do you know what I mean? You're looking at, you knock out a few hundred quid, go out, and then people don't know whether they should speak for a couple of days, but they're just trying out. But they're also dating other people and doing whatever you're doing. It's just... Do you know what? I believe back in the day, it was a lot more romantic as a teenager. Yeah. I feel like dates were more romantic as a teenager than what they are now that I'm an adult.
Yeah. Well, it again, it's the effort because, like you said, accessibility is endless, right?
Yeah. And what about like, you know, if you look at like teenage love, like Valentine's Day, I remember sending flowers and chocolates and cards to girls at like 13, you know, for Valentine's.
Cards when I was younger. I don't receive cards as an adult. I don't think I've had any in my 20s.
Yeah, I don't think I've... No, neither have I. Cool. Nothing.
You'd like... It would be like the thing, how many cards you got.
Yeah.
Loads.
Yeah, it was mad. But also, you used to get over things a lot better. So you could be in a relationship with someone for 2 weeks and then you'd split up and you'd feel terrible for 2 weeks and then you'd move on with, like, their friend. Or they'd start dating your friend, or like it was, like everyone was just sort of like quite happy just to.
Well, it wasn't like,
and that's what I mean. It's not. I don't think it was proper like you used to think you were, but it's not really, is it?
Because now that's like girl code, boy code. You don't do. In the playground, you do whatever you want.
Yeah,
I want to go back to the playground. It was so much more fun.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be weird if I now went back to the playground. But anyway, on that note, shall we get our guest on?
Luke Campbell. Do you know Luke? Because everyone's your fucking friend. Is Luke your friend?
No, Luke's not a friend. Luke's a boxer. I think we know a good few of the same people. He's a great boxer. He's competed from 2013 to 2021 and retired early this year. He's 33. Bantamweight gold Olympian and twice challenged for the world lightweight titles. So he has got 3 sons with his wife, Lindsay, Leo, Lincoln and Levi. And the couple met as teenage sweethearts from Hull and have been together since 2006.
Very, very, very cute.
So perfect person to ask about teenage love.
Let's get him on. Welcome, Luke.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Luke.
How you doing, buddy? Sweet?
Yeah, good. Yourself?
Mate, you look very fresh.
I've just come out of the gym.
Just cut off. Wait to make us feel like shit straight away, then.
I'm trying to put it on nowadays.
listen, Luke, thanks for coming on. We've got our topic this week is teenage love, which is something you know loads about. But before we get into that, we're going to tickle your bollocks a little bit, mate, and ask some quick-fire questions.
Okay.
CC, let's go.
Okay, first question. Date night in or date night out?
In.
Oh, kissing or cuddling, mate?
Kissing.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Giving it.
dating apps or meeting in person?
Meeting in person.
Yeah, mate.
Dream job or dream partner?
Dream partner.
Oh,
Cece loves it when Giza's saying that. She fucking loves it. That's it. That's fucking hell. Ah, bollocks. Go for the job. Chat line or straight to the point?
Straight to the point.
Big spoon or little spoon?
Little.
Fucking hell. I weren't expecting that one, mate. And the last one, the last one we know the answer to is single or taken. You're obviously taken. You're married, which is the whole point of you kind of being on this today, to tell us about teenage love and your missus, Lindsay, isn't it?
Lindsay, yeah. 14 years we've been together now.
Wow.
And how old are you, mate?
I'm 33.
33. So yeah, was it like first love thing?
Yeah, you could say that. For me, it was. I'd say Lindsay was like my first girlfriend.
Fucking hell.
How did you meet?
Yeah. My older brother used to work for her family business. So I've sort of known the family for years. And then it wasn't. So I don't know. Like Lindsay's dad started sponsoring me through boxing, and then I started going into her work, and I noticed her then, and I thought, oh wow, she's good looking. And then months and months and months later, then our first date was in Las Vegas.
Your first date was Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Fucking no wonder she stayed with you.
I know.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We went to Las Vegas for our first date, and it was about three nights? I think it was three nights. We went to watch Ricky Hatton fight, and we stayed in...
Which fight, mate?
Do you know when he boxed Urango?
Yeah.
Paris Hotel.
Yeah.
That's the fight we went to watch.
Mate,
that was our first date, yeah.
Hold on a minute. Right. So, obviously...
When we were talking about teenage love earlier on, you've absolutely mugged me off. I was talking about teenage love and taking a bird down Lakeside with 20 quid. You know what I mean? Taking her a bit of shopping and that. Fucking, I went Lakeside. I went fucking Vegas. Done me over like a kipper here, isn't it?
How did she... Because like, obviously, that's quite a lot of trust. And obviously, you said, like, about your older brother worked for the family and all the rest. Is that because she already knew who you were? So, it wasn't like you're just some random dude.
Yeah, I want a random dude who she just met. You know, we've maybe been talking for a few weeks, but obviously she knew of me, she knew my family, and I knew of her, knew her family, and it went from there.
So when you first, you said you kind of saw her, and then it, like months and months went past before you started speaking and before you had your first date and all that sort of stuff. So when you first saw her, do you believe in love at first sight? Do you think it was love at first sight? Or do you think it's like you've grown... You know when I say you've grown to love someone, it's because you spent time with her and you got to know. Or do you believe in that love at first sight shit?
You know what? You know, it's one of them, like, 14... Like, I do believe in love at first sight, but... You know, how do you potentially love someone that you don't know what they're like?
Yeah.
You know, and it's 14 years down the line now, and it's just like, I love her more than anything now. So, like, I look back and think, wow, I love you more now than what I ever have done so far. You know, because you go through experiences in life, you share moments together, and I think through the process, you become to love them even more. If you can.
Yeah, Luke, I think you may make Cece cry on this call.
She's, oh, it's so nice to hear.
She's wilting like a fucking flower over there.
No, because we hear a lot of shit, right? We hear a lot of shit.
Mostly from me.
Well, no, both of us. You know, we've got our stories and whatnot. So it's just nice. 14 years is a fucking long time. So for you to feel like you... Every year or whatever it grows, you know, you love her more now than you did at the start. When for some people it might go the opposite way because you're just fucking over it. That is beautiful.
Yeah, do you know what? It's one of them things like, because I believe in soulmates and all that sort of stuff, mate. And I just don't feel like I've met the right person. But presumably Lindsay's your soulmate, and you're just one of them lucky bastards that found it really young. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, do you know what? I guess that is true. Like, some of my mates now, obviously, around the same age as me, and, you know, they're going on dates and all that type of stuff. And, oh, they've got with a good-looking girl, but she's ringing him every 10 minutes, and he's finally out on a night out, and it's like, where are you? What are you doing? What time are you home? On the dot, every 20 minutes. And all my missus say to me is, I'll have a great time.
Yeah. But
that's it.
Do you think that's because you've built like such a good foundation for the relationship that like you know each other so well now? Because but when you meet someone when you're young like that, your life changes and goes in different directions, same as everyone does as they get older and you mature and all that sort of stuff. But you've kind of done it together. So you've probably been through ups and downs throughout the way. And do you think that's why you're so strong, is because you've seen everything from each other and you've grown together rather than being at a point, because you know everyone wants to kind of meet someone where, at the point where they're happy with themselves. Does that make sense? And I'm the best version.
But yeah.
I think sometimes you need to see this shit. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Massively. Like even had to even like I'm trying to remember back now, but like I remember like our first year, like we didn't argue once, like or something like that in our first year, and then like the second year we argued loads. Like loads, and then obviously Lindsay got pregnant early in our relationship, and you know, I think we was together maybe a year and a half, 2 years before we had our first child.
Mm.
But we moved in 6 months. We was only together 6 months, and I moved in with her after 6 months. And now looking back, I'm thinking, wow, that's really early in a relationship to actually move in 6 months.
Yeah, I've not experienced it. And Cece, I don't know about you. You said you've been in love once before, but you must have just known then. There must have been something back then that just made you think, do you know what? Because you know, you get some people that are a bit fucking nutty and a bit stalkerish and they just want to be around someone nonstop. You don't seem like that sort of geezer. So you must have just known back then, do you know what? That's the person I want to be with the rest of my life.
Well, here's the thing. Like, when we first got together, I was constantly away on Great Britain training camps. So I was away maybe 4 or 5 days a week, every single week.
Right.
So she's always been an independent woman that, you know, does her own thing and she's independent and she's got her own job and her own career. And I'm the same.
Mm-hmm.
So we've never suffocated each other, like, you know, in that respect, like where, oh, I just want to be with you every 2 minutes. It'd be like, I'd come home some weekends and she'd be like, oh, when do you go back away? You know what I mean? Just having the laugh like that. But it's always worked for us. Like, but obviously now I've retired from boxing. I'm home all the time. And I guess that was a little bit of a worry for us, for me to be home all the time.
Yeah.
That for us was a little bit of a test for our relationship, because within 14 years, it's never really happened, me being at home.
Mm.
But, we've done it well, actually.
I think what you've said about it being independent is the key, right? Because it's so easy, especially when you're just in love and it's all going really well. And it's like, oh, can I see you again? Can I see you again? It's that, like, that want, that need, that, like, just, it's almost like addiction. And then that's when things maybe don't go so well, because you've already rushed that lovely honeymoon period. And you've also, it's just, you lose your identity. And like you said, she's independent, you're independent. And that's obviously very important for you both, which is why you can meet in the middle when you do your couple stuff. I think it's very easy to lose that, though. I've lost it. I've definitely done the relationships where I've been way too independent, and then I've done the ones where I've been too much, because it wasn't really love. It was just whatever it was, fascination or something. So it goes back to, I think, knowing who you are, what you need, what your boundaries are. What do you need in your relationship? Do you need someone there all the time, or do you need your own space? She sounds great. Yeah. Can we get her on?
Yeah, definitely get her on. It'd be interesting to actually listen in and see her.
Really funny, is yeah, you've said all really lovely stuff, and she comes on and goes, he does my fucking head in, right? I wish I played the field. Like, I got lambered with him when I was really young, and now, look, I can't get rid of him.
It would actually be really interesting to listen to her side, but...
So this is a bit of a weird question, obviously, because I know you're in a really happy, like, marriage, you've got kids and all that sort of stuff, but do you ever think about some of the things you might have missed out on being, like, a young single guy? You know what I mean by that? I don't mean that disrespectfully, because when you're young, single, and you get blokes and they fuck about and do all that sort of stuff, and do you ever miss that, or do you think, do you know what?
Do you know what it was with me? Obviously, I had boxing there, and from when I was a kid, like going in the boxing gyms, all the coaches used to say, "Oh, don't get a get. Once you get a girlfriend, that's you. You're done." I always used to be from then. I always used to actually be quite scared of getting a girlfriend because I thought, "Oh, the second I get a girlfriend, my boxing's over." Because I used to see a lot of the boys that would go to the gym on a night, and then they'd get a girlfriend, and they'd just go missing for a few weeks or whatever, and or finish. So I was always scared in that respect to getting a girlfriend. Never really looked, but I was always so disciplined and dedicated to boxing. Like, I was always on training camps. I was traveling the world with Great Britain. So in that respect, I didn't really have time to... I was never out in the clubs drinking, partying.
Because you were training anyway, yeah.
Because I was always in training. Like, on my 16th birthday, we was in a tournament in Macedonia. You know, I was always away. I was probably on a training camp somewhere on my 18th birthday and things like that. So I used to go out now and again, but I'd just be out drinking water while all my friends would be getting pissed and whatever else. But yeah, I was always too serious for boxing.
In some ways, do you think, you know, being with Lindsay so young and having that stability from so young has actually helped, like, your career and kind of what you've done, because you haven't had that kind of unstable home life because you've had a girlfriend, you've been with the same person since you were really young.
Yeah.
She's understood exactly what you do and what goes into it and the determination, everything else. So do you think that stability has actually helped you?
Yeah, I'd say more than definite, yeah. It's having that, you know, just being grounded. Like, as I'd have got older, yeah, I probably would have been on all the dating apps and been meeting up with this girl, that girl, and, you know, maybe going out late on a weekend when I should be resting because I've got a fight coming up or something like that. But so yeah, I've had that stability and, you know, just that being grounded to I've got what I need, and, you know, I don't need to go out and do anything else.
Well, do you know what, Luke, what you've done today is, because we're all a similar age, the three of us, is you've made Cece and I feel really shit about our lives because you managed to find, like, your soulmate when you were really young, and me and her are still single.
Here
and
we are.
Going out, getting pissed, drinking tequila at the weekend. So thanks for that, mate. Really, really glad to chat.
Listen, well, I've stopped boxing, but I've started drinking and smoking now. So listen, if you ever want to get a drink.
Yeah, we go.
Happily celebrate drowning our sorrows.
Fabulous, love that, mate. Listen, before we go, we're gonna do this little game, which I think you know about, yeah.
Yeah.
Love the way you lie. So, can you please tell us either three stories or statements, two of which are truth and one is a lie, and we are going to guess which one is your lie. We get a question per story. But we'll ask them after. So, story or statement number one?
Okay, so my idea when I asked Lindsay to marry me was I rented a horse. Not only did I rent a horse, I went to joke shop that day and bought a knight's outfit with a sword, a shield, and all the works. She was in her mum and dad's house one night, and I galloped in on this horse. She see me through the front window, and I went round the back. And as she come out round the back, I jumped off the horse, landed on one knee, and asked her to marry me.
So that's story number one. Do you know what? Look, I really fucking hope that's true, because that's cool as fuck, mate.
If that's true, I'll cry.
Yeah, that'll finish CC off. So that's story number one. Okay, story number two.
It's Lindsay's birthday, and, you know, what do you get your girlfriend on a birthday? She woke up and said, "Happy." I said, "Happy birthday." Here's a card. Give her a card. She's like looking around for a present. I'm like, "Your present's at 12:00." She goes, "Oh, really?" So I said, "Yeah," but I said, "I need to drive you to that present." So we both jumped in the car, drove there, 12:00. She goes, "What is it?" So I said, "We're both parachuting out of an aeroplane for your birthday."
Fuck's sake.
Okay.
I can't deal with these stories. I can't fucking deal with it.
Cece, this is basically this is everything that Cece wants in a bloke.
I can't deal with this shit.
So, first one is horse. Second one is threw out of a plane for a birthday. what's the third one?
The third one is she started practicing piano, doing piano lessons, and she was going to the teacher's house every other week doing a lesson. Christmas was coming up, so I thought I'd look for pianos for a Christmas present. Found a beautiful white grand piano. Somehow managed to, when she was asleep on Christmas Eve, to get it in the house and in the living room to put a red bow on it for when she come down in the morning.
Look, listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm starting to fucking dislike you.
I don't know how I feel right now.
I'm a good laugh, trust me. I am a good laugh.
Mate, listen, you're kicking the fuck out of Geezer, double R, super successful, do you know what I mean? Does really well for himself and basically the perfect fucking Geezer for any bird, making the rest of us look like complete pricks. So, nice one, mate. Fuck being your mate. Okay, so one of them, two of them are truths and one of them is a lie, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Cece, any questions? We've got one question per story. I don't have any questions.
No, I'm not going to ask any questions either. No. I'm just going to guess.
Go on then.
Fuck, this is quite a hard one. I am going to guess that, the piano's the lie.
Okay. I'm going to say that I'm going to say the piano's a lie as well. Just because how the fuck can you get a grand piano into your house?
On Christmas Eve.
When someone's Sando.
How big is your fucking front door?
Back then, it was just a regular front door.
All right.
Is it a lie then? Go on, tell us.
Which one's the liar?
The parachuting one's a lie.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You're actually getting on my nerves. Like, it's annoying.
The parachuting one's a lie because she did it to me. I didn't do it to her.
That's what she got you for your birthday?
For my 21st birthday.
Can you two, like, write a book or something or do a TV show on, like, how to be fucking amazing?
Oh, God, this...
Like, we can just... Oh, go on, no, what? No, I want to learn from this. I think... Because clearly, Lindsay's doing her part too. She's throwing out planes.
What's that film? What's that film called? What's it? The Notebook? Was that fucking styled on you two or what?
Oh, God.
Fucking hell. In a couple of years' time, we're going to hear the Luke Campbell story. Luke and Lindsay, the look of life. That's what it's going to be called.
This whole story, you actually went and got a knight outfit. Does she love horses or something? Or you were trying to be a knight?
That's like, jokes.
Yeah, no. She loved horses. And she was to look after a couple of horses. And for some reason, at the time, my sister had a horse. And I asked my sister to see if I could rent the horse off her to do this proposal thing. And I rented it. I gave her some money for it, and she didn't even put a saddle on the horse. I had to ride the horse bareback down the street into the back garden.
Mate, that's
fucking
brilliant.
But not only that is, when I was getting on the horse, I had like a red love heart balloon, and it was dark and windy and raining, and the balloon blew into the horse. Hit the horse, and then the horse started going crazy. So then I'm wrapped my arms around the horse like this because I had no saddle, and I'm literally clung onto this horse while it's trying to flip me off. And anyhow, the kid that brought the horse calmed the horse down. So I didn't like gallop into the garden. I literally come into the garden, clung to this horse in a joke's night outfit.
So did you did you mean to propose, or were you just shitting yourself and try to jump off the horse as quick as possible and landed on your knees?
Yeah.
And then went,
I think I rolled off the horse, fell onto the floor, and went on one knee and then asked her to marry me. But you know what? For me, I just thought, I only want to get married the once, so I've got to do it right. I've got to do it fun and a good story to talk about. So, because I could never see myself getting remarried. Even if we split up, I think I wouldn't even get married again.
Yeah.
How long have you been together before you proposed?
About 5 years.
Wow.
About 5 years.
Well, mate, listen, it's you've been an absolute pleasure today. Thank you so much for coming on and making me look fucking terrible. But no, what a lovely geezer. You've melted CC's heart. Say hello to Lindsay for us. Thanks ever so much, mate. Appreciate
it. Thanks for actually coming around. Usually we are really, we're a bit cynical because of all of our stories. So thank you for telling us a love story.
No worries. We'll have to get Lindsay on because I'd love to wee-wig on her side of the story.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear it too.
Yeah, I do as well. I want to see if she's got the same. But to be fair, if she's got the same version as you, then I might as well just throw myself up a bridge because, I mean. But yeah, go on. Ta-da, mate.
Thank you. Take care.
Cheers. Thank you. See you later.
I might just need to go and have a little cry.
What a lovely geezer. What a lovely, lovely geezer. And do you know what? Me and Cece are always very, very cynical.
Always.
I still don't believe in love at first sight, but like I have said a number of times, I do believe in soulmates. And it genuinely does sound like he met his when he was young. Like, do you know what I mean? Lucky guy.
I don't have a lot of people. Actually, I don't have any couple that I look at and think, oh, I like that. That, you know, I like what you've got there. Like, there's always something. But, I mean, obviously we haven't met them, right? But from what he just said, that to me, I think the level of comedy that it goes with it, because, you know, all of it, it just sounds like they've got a really, really good, equal relationship.
What is the thing that people always say about what they want out of a relationship, which is what it sounds like they've got? And that is, and I say, I want a girl that is my best friend who I fancy the fuck out of.
Yeah. That is, yeah.
And that sounds...
Yeah, hold on. I want to talk to her. I feel like she's going to be funny.
Yeah.
I want to hear from Lindsay.
Should we invite them to our next night out?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, now he drinks.
Now that he drinks. Fucking hell. Because, I think we should do that. Let's invite them to the next night out. So, Luke and Lindsay, you are coming out for the FUBAR dating show night out, which involves Cece and I getting very drunk, insulting each other. And just, yeah.
And that's it. Really.
It's basically this. It's just
it's really
it.
Fun. Yeah. It's really promise.
Well, we think it's really fun. Not sure anyone else does. Right. So for anyone that has just tuned in or doesn't know what they're doing here again, this is the dating show on FUBAR Radio. We've just had Luke Campbell on talking about teenage love. We've done the dating sex, but we've done everything else. But it's now on to the listeners' questions and stories. And this week, because we enjoyed speaking to Luke so much, we're just going to do one.
We'll do some advice. At La Teacher.
At LA underscore teacher underscore.
Oh, all right. Well, I was trying to say it fancy. La Teacher.
Oh, okay.
All right. At underscore teacher la underscore. Her advice. Okay. So she says, do you just deal with a mama's boy or do you leave him?
Listen, I'm not going to judge people because we did a show on that. But I think this is a very silly question.
Okay. Well, the thing is, we don't have a lot of background with it.
No. So there's no context to it. But just reading that, I think it's a silly question because I think it's obvious.
But I do, because I do get it. Because I was in a relationship with someone who was fully a mama's boy. And a lot of people did just say to me, look, if you really want to be with him, just deal with it. But it really depends on the level, right? Mama's boy is one thing. But when you've got mama's boy with a parent who's overbearing, who's sort of interrupting your relationship, that takes it to another level. It was too much for me.
And listen, I mean, I love my mum. I've said it repeatedly. My mum, my nan, are my best friends. But I'm as probably as far as from a mama's boy as you can get. But I do know blokes who are like mummy's boys, like, you know.
Mm.
And I find it quite annoying to be their mate, let alone be in a relationship with someone like that. Do you know what I mean? But it all comes down to whether or not you love them. It's the same as anything that we say this all the time. What is it? Communication.
Yeah.
It's a conversation. If it really bothers you that much, then you've got to have the conversation with whoever it is, surely.
Yeah. Yeah. Communicate that. Figure out, like, is this always going to be like this? Is this just a phase? You know, maybe there's a bit of a test at the start and then he'll like chill out a little bit. Maybe mum will chill out a little bit when she knows that actually it's real love and you're not going to fuck over a son. There's, you know,
I think there's we don't have lots of context on this, but I imagine there's stages before just deal with it or leave. I imagine this, look for the bit in between that before you do one of them.
Do you know what I mean? I'm interested, because if she's at that point where she's asking the question, do you just deal with it? Sounds like she's quite fed up and frustrated.
Yeah.
So I think asking that question.
Yeah. But I think before leaving, and if it is just about that, or are you leaving because you're using that as an excuse because actually subconsciously you don't feel like you should be with him anyway?
I think we've got something here.
So really, because we don't have much context, it's hard to say, but if you are at that point, it does sound like, well, you're fed up, do you just leave him? Before you just leave him, I think work out actually if that's the problem in the relationship or if it's something else. And if it is just that, then do the communication thing and talk it out, because I don't think you need to leave someone you love because of their mother.
I've just been down that road and it was...
But I just think if he loves you as well, listen, any time you're in a relationship, I mean, this is coming from someone that's eternally single, but any time that presumably you're in a long-term relationship, you make compromises based on your partner. And if that is, you know, it depends what extent someone's like a mummy's boy, do you know what I mean? Like, it depends what extent that
it
is.
It does, yeah.
Completely. But if it's like, you know, mum's in every day, got a key to us, letting herself doing all this, is just overbearing, then for me, as a compromise for the woman I love, I'd be like, mum, you've got to slow the fuck down, man. Do you know what I mean? Give me some...
And I'm gonna share a little story that this is based on someone else, but whether it stays or not, I'll say it anyway. So I was talking, when I was in a relationship with a mummy's boy, I was talking to a good friend about this, and she is married to a lovely guy, they've got two kids together, and her husband is a mummy's boy. And mama decided to invite herself over for Christmas one day. And the Christmas period, I'm going to spend Christmas with you. And so she was like, are you going to fucking say something to your mum about this? This is ridiculous. And he was like, oh, you know, she just wants to see the grandkids, da, 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 da. She was like, no problem. So on Christmas Day, she went and put the sluttiest little outfit on. Her tits were hanging out. She had high heel shoes on, suspenders, like a Christmas elves outfit out. The sluttiest thing she could possibly find. She said every time she bent over, you could see her thong. And then she went down, I know, on Christmas Day, served everybody food. Papa was there as well. So she's like, oh, hi, guys. Tits are just juggling. Kept snogging her husband in front of him. He was slapping her ass. He was just like, fucking out. And she said they never turned up for Christmas again. So there are ways to get around it. I'm just saying, there are ways to take the control back without having to have, because if your partner's not fucking getting it, sometimes they just don't. So take it back, take the control back. But that was obviously a bit more of a problem with the mum than it was the actual, it's for your partner to, you know, to say something to the mum, but if he's not getting it, maybe you just have to go direct.
Listen, I applaud your friend.
Same here.
Awesome. And this, we've given you a lovely bit of advice. I think that's great advice there, Cece. So today's advice from Cece and I is be a slut.
Dress like a slut. Be a slut.
Yeah. That is, I think that's a great way to sort of wrap up today.
I couldn't agree more, even though I don't want to.
No, I don't. I never want to. But listen, that's it for the listeners' questions and stories. If you want to share any of your stories and questions, then you can email us at thedatingshow@foobarradio.com. You can also catch up with everything that we do, all the wonderful meme things that they make of me and CC being a complete tits. You can do that on the home, the H Club. I fucked it. I always get it right. The home.
You get it right. The home.
The hub, the HQ.
The hub or the hub and the HQ.
The home, the hub, the HQ.
Home, the hub, the HQ, the three H's.
The three H's of The Dating Show, which is at on Instagram, thedating_show.
That is it. That is it. And Luke Campbell, thank you for making me weep a little bit, making me want real love.
Yeah. And actually...
I want a fucking horse. I want someone to come on a horse and get on the knee. What are you looking for that?
Sorry, I completely lost the plot for a minute there.
Did you go south?
Yes.
What is your thought? Share.
No. No. I'll tell you after. anyway.
Well, we're going to end it now then, because I want to hear what Pete's got to say. So, guys, thank you so much. Love you all. Thanks for listening.
But don't we have to do...
Oh, we got something else?
Well, no, didn't we discuss last week that we were going to sing out every...
Oh, okay. What, is this a new one?
Well, yeah, I mean, you just sort of make up a melody, don't you? And then I sort of try and add something to it.
I'm going to start differently this time, though.
Oh, Mr. Wicks, I don't want to leave.
I don't want to leave you.
Because I have so much fun.
You're my favourite person.
Oh.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Love you all. Have a good day.